Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that we can be confident in the work that has been done through your son and his coming in the flesh and his dying and his being raised. And now he sits on the throne. And he is one day coming back again to redeem his people. And I ask, Father, that we would not fear man, but that we would fear you and go and share the gospel. That we would give this good news to people. Who are we that have received it? But now we are chosen and we have a duty to go out and to share Christ with the lost. Thank you for this word now, and I just ask that you would open our minds and our hearts and our ears to understand and be ministered by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So Rachel and I went to the parade. There we go. We went to the parade last night with the kids, and it was fun. It was enjoyable. We got to meet a few people. There was a couple people that we met there. Well, actually, it was all ladies, really. So we met all ladies, which is good. There was three of them, specifically, a mother and a daughter, and then there was another lady that we met. She actually isn't from Creston. But when Rachel was talking to her afterwards, Rachel ended up walking with her, and I went with the kids ahead as a good parent and walked with them and took care of them. And Rachel was back there talking to her, and while she was talking to her, this lady says to her, she's like, so do you guys have a little one? She says, do you have a little one? And Rachel's like, yes, we have four. And she's like, four? She's like, I thought you guys were like 20. So she was off by like 20 years, but yeah. Anyway, so we're only like 20, Rachel and I. So I don't, yeah, you added me in. It was me. I was added. We're one. So if she's 20, I'm 20. So anyways, it was a good time. We had a fun time last night, freezing, standing there, watching stuff drive by. So today we're going to talk about peace as we've lit the candles today as well. Hope last week, this week, peace. But before we get into it further, something that I was encouraged with last week actually was with Andrew. Andrew had come to the church with his mom. They were practicing here for worship. And he encouraged me. He was just telling me the word. He was speaking on and on in his excitement that he had in Christ and his redemption that he'd been given. And his theology was on point. I enjoyed you, Andrew, and I thank you for that. And I left here encouraged. And there was a few others that he sat with as well. We sat with a few people here. And he just encouraged us. I felt very encouraged. So we need to think of that too as we're in this season of Advent. There is a purpose. Christ did come. He did come as a baby. So we can be excited about what has happened. So thank you, Andrew. No peace is one thing that I'm going to get to. True peace is another thing. Peace for all is another thing that we're going to touch today. So those are the 3 points, my usual 3 points. So a personal story before I go into those points. Some years ago, it was actually when our daughter was quite young, Neve, we decided to stop the traditional Christmas that we've always done. I know it might sound crazy to some of you, or maybe some of you have done this before, but we did. We decided to stop it. And as I was getting this ready for the sermon too, I was thinking about Christmas with the Cranks. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the movie. If you haven't, it is quite funny. And I was thinking about them because we had stopped the whole Christmas ordeal. And I was thinking about them because they did the same thing and they decided to go on a trip together as a family and to get away and not do what they usually do at Christmas. I'm going to tell you the end, so if you haven't seen it, you're going to find out the end, so I'm going to spoil it for you. But at the end of the movie, they ended up doing Christmas. They ended up having their party, what they would look at, what the world looks at as Christmas. They would do their party and get together with people and gather people around. They ended up doing that at the end of the movie. But through that, there's a few situations that they go through. They were going to choose to go on a holiday And this holiday that they were going to go on was a trip away for them to take a break. They were going to go to a nice hot island instead of being in the cold. But in the movie, they ended up not being able to do that, and they ended up having their party, as I stated earlier. But before they had their party, they ended up giving away their tickets to an elderly couple that lived, I think, across the street. And the elderly couple that they gave these tickets to were battling, I think the wife was battling with cancer. So in the end, they ended up to be able to give a gift to someone in a time of need that maybe they needed to get away. They needed a break with going through treatments, situations. I know this is only a movie. It's not real life. But I know that we can, too, have situations in our life and we can bring encouragement to people. My family did not plan a trip. We did not plan a trip away, which maybe would have been nice, but we didn't do that. We just decided to not do the whole ordeal. Many thought it was strange, but some understood what we were doing. But we had come to a place in our walk with God that we started to wonder, are we worshiping the lights and the trees more than Christ, or is this only a pagan holiday? One of the biggest things I have found in my walk with the Lord is when I start to come to an understanding and I have questions or I have new understandings, my questions need answers, but hasty upfront answers don't help. We knew Christ should be the focus because he is peace, but how did we make him the focus over the presents, the gifts, and the lights, Santa Claus? Again, I'm going to give another spoiler here. Spoiler alert is happening. So Santa is not real. Let's just clear that up so we all know that. Some of you adults may not have known that, but he's not real. So too often through this holiday, we spend money. We shouldn't at times. It happens. We give people everything they want, even though they may not need it. This should not be the focus, but too often becomes the focus. Just let me ease all your minds, though. We do celebrate Christmas, the whole thing. We have, yes, much. My wife actually does the tree, and she leaves the tree up through Valentine's Day. She changes the decorations on it. So if you come to our house, the tree will still be there. We've actually talked about just leaving it up all year and changing it all the time, birthdays, whatever, but hopefully not. Just it's funny, though, how after we remove something from our life, we realize how much we really did miss it or needed it. This is what I was starting to come to when we were doing this through this time. We know today that the Advent season is not a pagan holiday and is our opportunity to bring peace to a world that truly needs peace. Our Advent holiday season is not worshiping of man-made image, is not that. It is a celebration of the work of our Savior in past and future. If we don't see the need for Christ, then we don't need Christmas. But for all those who have found peace in Christ can find the need for Christmas because they have peace. We who are in Christ have peace. Peace with God. That's from Romans 5:1. So we must be reminded of peace we have found in Christ. Now back to my story. Our daughter, Neve, who was very small, really wanted a tree. This is the time when we're deciding not to do Christmas. Rachel and her sat down and prayed. They prayed something like this. Lord, if a tree is what we are to put up this year, is it possible that someone would deliver one to our doorstep? If they were so bold, they said, then we'll know it is okay to do a tree. Simple prayer, small prayer. Well, if I could picture God on his throne, I think he was grinning as he answered this prayer. As I was away from the house one afternoon, I received a phone call from a friend. I did not know about this prayer that had been said in this situation that Rachel was going through with her daughter and the prayer that they had. The person on the other line said, I have a Christmas tree that I no longer need. Would you like to have it? And as the good husband that I am, I said, well, just let me call you back. I'm going to talk to my wife first. And I called her and I had told her about this. And then found out the prayer that she had with our daughter. She then hold on a second. So let me get my thoughts right. So then the conversation, they had the conversation. So then I, before I was able to call back this said person, they ended up calling me back and said, I'm more than willing to deliver it to your house if you'd like, if that works best for you. So anyway, so we received this tree, and it just reminded us of how God sees us in our little things and in the understandings that we come to and the things that matter most is what God wants us to know. And it's not that the tree is something that we worship. It's not that we worship the candles, but we worship God. We worship what God has done for us through Christ. And the lights and everything just illuminate it. They make it more. It's to point to something. Yesterday, as we were talking with those people, the one lady actually attends the Catholic Church, and she had said when when the floats come by, she had stated that this is Christmas. It wasn't Santa, but it was the manger and Christ. And when people feel excited, it opens doors to give them the gift of peace. So we got our answer. And we do celebrate, as I said before, celebrate Christmas today. We don't celebrate the tree, but we celebrate what Christ has done. So now, no peace. First point. I believe that we can see that our world today is not at peace. People are believing that they are neither male nor female, so they must be a they. They are changing their own sex in order to be a male or female, mutilating their own bodies. I actually just heard news of someone who had done this, and they become saved. They want to teach children, but in this, the world and their deception. Without Christ, we're deceived. Satan is our master. They want to teach children in the schools that pedophilia is okay. They want to go to the doctor and have them murder them because they are ultimately not at peace. They want to end their life. They want to murder babies in the womb so that they can have peace in their lives without a child. Isaiah 48:22 says, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. So seeking to find some form of peace by killing yourself is not peace. For there is not peace in hell. Isaiah 66:24 says, for their worm shall not die, their fire shall not be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. We will never find peace by making laws in our land that give people the ability to die by medications or the right to mutilate their bodies and others, and let children believe that sexuality is not only for marriage, but for those who can force a child to do gross and perverse things. The lie of our culture is that we should go along and agree to these methods. I know this may not seem like it's a peaceful message at the moment, but it's not peaceful in our world without Christ when people do not have him. He did come. Giving people what they want is not what they need. They need peace from God. Many look for peace in marriages, blood families, peace with friends, peace with our coworkers, peace with our neighbors, and peace with our finances. That can be a touchy subject too. The world wants and has looked to find peace in all these areas, but can't truly find peace. It may last for a moment. Because without Christ, there is no true peace. The world has looked for peace through many means like self-promotion, pleasure, positive thinking. It's all just trying to feed the flesh. Maybe even a form of meditation to clear the mind. But this does not deal with the heart of the issue. True peace is never found in these areas of life, but self-promotion, pleasure, and positive thinking. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Romans again. Positive thinking is not wrong in itself, but those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Again, Romans 8. 8:8. There is no peace in pleasing the flesh because the flesh will never be satisfied. So now, True peace. Let's look back at Luke 2:14, if you have your Bible still open there. Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Peace among those with whom he is pleased. At Jesus' baptism, performed by John the Baptist, God displays how he is pleased with his son in Luke 3:22. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove, and a voice from heaven, "You are my beloved son, with whom I am pleased." That's Christ. "For it is God's good pleasure to give man peace through his son, who is the Prince of Peace." Isaiah 9:6, which we read earlier. "The world does not give peace, but God's peace descends upon man." Descension upon man. So man has no need to fear, John 14:27. "But rejoice, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Philippians 2:13, which we've been going through a few weeks back, and we'll get to again. We find our peace in the saving work of Christ. The saving work of Christ inspires us to share the good news. There's an action that happens because of the peace that we've been given. Now we want to give that peace. Let's remind ourselves this Christmas, as we see the lights, as I talked about earlier, the lights, the excitement of family gatherings, that this is a season for peace and a season to give that peace to others. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Christ said that to his disciples in John 14:27. Again, read Luke 2:14. Let's read 2:14. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. For he himself is our peace." Ephesians 3:14. Looking at chapter 1 of John, not that you have to flip there, but just to get your minds thinking about this. "Christ is the light that came into the world." John 1:9. "Jesus came into the world, but the world could not see him." John 1:10. "When Jesus came to his own people, they did not know him, for they did not receive him." John 1:11. "Instead, they murdered him. But those who did see him and believed are declared children of God." John 1:12 to 13. Romans 5:1 again states, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's peace works in us and out from us." Vertical relationship with God that works horizontally with those around us. So again, fear not, spread the good news. Now, peace for all. We're going to go through the text in Luke 2 a little bit deeper with what was going on there with the shepherds. So it is peace for all. Something I found interesting in this text, there's a few things, but now this angel has come to these shepherds. Shepherds. Who are shepherds? What's the point? Just a shepherd, someone who herds sheep, looks after animals. Are they really that important? This angel told them not to fear, as was the same for Mary, as we talked about last week with hope. In our text last week, in chapter 130 is where that come from. "Do not fear now that hope and good news is brought in Christ. Take this good news to everyone. Share the gospel." That's kind of what the point is being displayed to us here in Luke, because that's what Luke wants. He wants to take the gospel to the world. He was directed by Christ to do that. With God revealing the coming Messiah to the shepherds, it reveals to us how God chooses hard-working, laboring people, a common people, shepherds. Not only has he come for the common, but he also gives life to his son, to all people, to his son. Life is in his son, and he gives it to all people who are willing to believe. The second part of John 1:29 says, who takes away the sin of the world. The shepherds were looking at these. The shepherds were looked at as less than in Israel. They were outcasts, separate, not able to come to the temple for long periods of times. They were unclean. Christ comes to save the lost, the poor, the meek. You can look that up on your own time in Luke 1, 51 to 53 and 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 29. Jesus came for those who need a physician, those who are sick, and he calls sinners, us sinners, to repent. Again, Luke 5, 31 to 32 is where you can look that up too. Shepherds are not fools. They are humble, sensible men. Something for us to understand too, because we all have worked in our lives. We work as people. We're not dumb. We might be foolish, because that's clearly told to us by God. In Proverbs, you can read about the fool lots. But shepherds are not fools. They are humble, sensible men who are not easily persuaded by fiction. I never really thought about this much, but as I was going through a commentary on this through this week, it kind of got my thoughts on the point, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Okay, shepherds have been given something good. They've been shown something by an angel of God, an angel who's rejoicing, has come down, rejoices, gives man hope, a shepherd, hope. So if they saw an angel and found the Christ, they could be believed. People could agree with them. This is true. We see this. They aren't people that believe in fantasies. God was purposeful in his decision to first declare to the shepherds that Christ had come into this world. Major focus in this place on this point that the good news, so the focus of here on this whole thing though with this text, the good news is for all people, the Jew, and for all people, Luke 2:10. In our text that we've read already. The theme of peace to the world over 2,000 years ago was not brought through peace in a soldier or judge, but peace for a world that has seen war. That time, 2,000 years ago, they had seen war. They've seen many things. Sorrow after sorrow, pain after pain. We have situations in our day today, pain and sorrow, war going on. The world in Christ's day was no different for people looking for peace. In Wiersbe's commentary, it says, the famous Pax Romana, Roman peace, is what that is, had been in effect since 27 BC. But the absence of war doesn't guarantee the presence of peace. I believe we all kind of know that. Again, but the absence of war doesn't guarantee the presence of peace. The Stoic philosopher Epictetus, I think I said it right, said, while the emperor may give peace from war or land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion and grief and envy. We talked about this earlier. The flesh wants and it craves. Without the work of Christ in our life, we must die to our flesh. He cannot give peace, the emperor, he cannot give peace of heart, for which man yearns more than ever for outward peace. There's a physical outward peace, but there is the heart that needs peace. Life was not easy in these times. Neither is life today. Taxes were high. Unemployment was high. Morals were slipping lower. And the military state was in control in Rome. Rome law, Greek philosophy, and even Jewish religion could not meet the needs of men's heart. The people of the world needed a Savior. They needed God's glory to come to earth. That glory was through our Savior, Jesus Christ, John 1:14. And he revealed that to shepherds. So what was revealed to shepherds has been revealed to us. So go into the world, reveal the peace of God to all people. Let's pray as we worship together in our last song. Father, I just thank you again for these